Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to all for the Embassy REIT's management conference call. Currently, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Our speakers will address your questions at the end of the presentation during the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Sakshi Garg, Investor Relations Manager for Embassy REIT. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for joining us to discuss the transaction Embassy REIT announced on April 6, 2024. You may wish to refer to the acquisition presentation, the press release, and the extraordinary meeting notice relating to the transaction announcement. We have placed these relevant documents in the investor section of our website at www.embassyofficeparks.com. As always, we would like to inform you that management may make certain comments on this call that you could deem forward-looking statements. Please be advised that the REIT's actual results or actual outcome of the proposed acquisition may differ from these statements. Embassy REIT does not guarantee these statements or results and is not obligated to update them at any time. Joining me today are Arvind Mayar, CEO, and Ritik Bhattacharjee, our CIO. They'll run you through the proposed acquisition and fundraising plan, after which we will open the floor to questions. Over to you, Arvind.
Thank you, Sakshi. Good evening and thank you all for joining us on the call today. We recently celebrated our 5th-year anniversary as a listed REIT. On this occasion, we are very excited to announce a strategic acquisition which will allow our entry into our 5th growth market and increase our portfolio to over 50 million square feet, positioning us as one of the largest office REITs globally. I want to highlight that Embassy REIT is at the cusp of delivering strong growth over the next few years. This will be led by an occupancy ramp-up in our existing portfolio of 35.8 million square feet, as well as our 6.9 million square feet active developments, out of which we have already pre-leased 73% of the next 2 years' deliveries. With the continued business momentum and favorable market conditions, we believe this is the right time to raise additional capital to strengthen our balance sheet and give us the firepower and flexibility to finance our growth. Last Saturday, the independent directors of our investment and audit committees, as well as the board of the manager to Embassy REIT, approved the acquisition of Embassy Splendid Tech Zone, Chennai, for an enterprise value of Rs. 1,269 crores and an institutional placement of up to 3,000 crores, subject to unit holder and other approvals. Let me hand over now to Ritik to take us through the transaction details.
Thank you, Arvind. Good evening, everyone. I will keep my comments brief because this acquisition and the accompanying fundraise is quite self-explanatory. We view this transaction as a very compelling opportunity for the following reasons. ESTZ is a great asset. It's a 5 million square feet campus-style office park spread over approximately 26 acres. The asset is located at Pallavaram Thodaipakkam Road, which is 15 minutes from Chennai International Airport. The 1.4 million square feet completed area is 95% leased to marquee multinational occupiers such as Wells Fargo and BNY Mellon, among others. Another 1.6 million square feet is currently under development and already 26% pre-leased. An additional 2 million square feet of future development potential provides embedded growth. Second, Chennai is one of the fastest growing office markets in India and recorded a gross absorption of 9.4 million square feet last year. Within Chennai, ESTZ is located in OMR2, which is amongst the top performing submarkets in the city and accounts for over 20% of its gross absorption. The proposed transaction is accretive across all key financial metrics. We're buying the asset for an enterprise value of 1,269 crores, priced at a discount of 6.7% to the average of the two independent valuations. Our price implies a stabilized NOI yield of 8.5% for the completed portion and 10% for the development portion. This compares favorably to our current trading yield of around 7.1%. The overall transaction is 2.9% NOI and DPU accretive and will not significantly impact NAV. The enterprise value of 1,269 crores includes 61% economic interest in the lease revenues and 100% interest in the property management business of the asset. We propose to raise external debt of approximately 400 crores and unit capital of 3,500 crores through an institutional placement subject to requisite approvals. We will use the total proceeds of 2,900 crores in the following manner. Firstly, acquisition-specific proceeds. We will pay down approximately 800 crores of existing debt. We will refinance 400 crores of debt, and we will pay 43 crores to embassy sponsor, which relates to the rental support. Second, there will be REIT deleveraging proceeds, for which the balance 1,650 crores will be used to primarily delever the REIT's existing balance sheet. The deleveraging exercise will reduce our leverage from the current 30% at the REIT to 27% and provides us the flexibility for future growth. In summary, ESTZ adds over 89 crores of NOI and 69 crores of NDCF on a pro forma basis. We will achieve interest cost savings of over 130 crores through the external debt repayment. Together, this will result in the pro forma NDCF of over 200 crores to the REIT. Two other points. There is income support of 43 crores to MC sponsor, which is included in the consideration. We believe we have full visibility into this lease. However, there is a valuation adjustment should the binding lease agreement not get executed prior to the acquisition completion. Then there will be a reduced consideration of a that amounts to 1,185 crores without the rental support. Lastly, given this acquisition qualifies as a related party transaction under SEBI's regulations, we followed applicable related party safeguards. Also, while the acquisition does not exceed the thresholds requiring unitholder approval for related party transactions under the REIT regulations, we are seeking unitholder approval for the acquisition and institutional placement through an extraordinary meeting scheduled for April 29, 2024. Let's move to Q&A, please. Abhishek Agarwal, our CFO, and Amit Shetty, our leasing co-head, will join us as well.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Shirish Vajay from Money Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question pertains to the institutional placement that Embassy would be doing. So in
I'm sorry, we lost you.
The line for the participant in the queue seems to have dropped. We will take the next question from the line of Kunal Tayar. Please go ahead.
Sure, thank you. Just a couple of questions on the Chennai market from my side. One, if we could just talk through your assumptions on, you know, the leasing outlook for the under construction pipeline that you have, number one. And second, if you could just refresh for us as to what are sort of the headline drivers of Chennai leasing market that you foresee. Is it expected to be a GCC story or, you know, a different set of events that would be sort of the drivers? I know that in the last 1 year, Chennai has really come through the ranks in terms of leasing momentum. So, you know, which of these you would expect to continue and what are the new ones that would come along the way? Thank you.
Thanks, Kunal. Let me start on some of our assumptions and then I'll hand it over to Amit Shetty, our leading co-head, to talk a bit on the market. From our point of view, it's, as we said, 1.4 million completed, 95% leased, and then there's 0.4, which is today under construction, but that is fully pre-leased. So in terms of the balance, there is around six blocks. Largely big picture, we've assumed that we will do a block each year, which we believe is very comfortable for us to lease over the next few years. That's what we have underwritten, but in terms of overall market, why don't I hand it over to Amit right now?
Thanks, Arvind. So, Chennai has been a, you know, a very strong performer on the leasing side. It's been the third largest city in the country from an absorption perspective last year. absorbing about grossly about 10.94 million square feet. And we are in the, from a micro market perspective, we are positioned very, very well because 18% of all the leasing that's happened in Chennai is in the micro market that we are currently present. So we believe that it's truly a great story, and given the clientele and the ecosystem that we have in the park, I think it's truly exceptional to attract newer clientele as well.
Got it. Thank you. Just one quick clarification. I thought that you're saying that the under construction is 0.4 and all of that is leased out. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought I read 0.4 of 1.6 million is being leased out so far.
Let me clarify. There's 1.4 completed, which is 95% leased. Then there is one tower called Block 10, which is 0.4 million square feet, which is under construction today, which is fully pre-leased, subject to a binding document which Hrithik spoke about. Then there is another 3.2, which is at different stages of construction. Some where the structure has come, some where there's just podium, some where there is just land. So all put together is around 3.2 million.
Got it. And this is where you're saying one tower, one block each year.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Murtuza Arsiwala from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. You talked about the 8.5 cap rate and 10 for the proposed development. Can you help break that up? You know, when I see the 1269 crore of enterprise value for this acquisition, can you give us the breakup of that value between the subcategories? And the way I picked it up from the presentation is 1.4 completed, 1.6 under construction, and 2 future development. And also, if you could give us some flavor on the underlying NOI, you know, how much is coming from rentals, how much is coming from property management fee for the 8.5% cap rate and the 10% cap rate that you stated.
Murtuza, hi. So why don't I hand it over to Hrithik to give details on the valuation split, and then second question, I have a little bit more clarity required from you, but I'll come to that. Hrithik, over to you.
Sure. Yeah, so effectively you should think about it in three different phases. The first, the 8.5 pertains effectively to blocks 2, 3, and 9, and effectively also in 10 as well, right, with the rental support, right? So that's effectively what, and the 8.5 really is a number that, you know, we did not take lightly, simply because I think given where precedents and transaction comps have priced out in sort of the private markets and just overall, we wanted to make sure that there was full value sort of reflected in that. The under construction portion of sort of then 10% really then obviously pertains to, you know, doing this at sort of effective Chennai rents, and then obviously taking 61% off that for the rest of the assets on a blended basis. And then, but assuming the full financing cost, the construction cost of that, because that's something that, you know, we have to bear the brunt on. So that number then obviously sort of comes in at that 10% range. But that's effectively the major areas. And we think about it from the perspective of 2, 3, 9 and 10 is the major blocks. And then obviously thinking about the rest of it under construction for the long cost.
And just in terms of split of values, big picture, Murtuza, 2, 3, 9, 10 is around 910 crores. And the balance six blocks is around, say, 359 crores. That's broadly the split.
Yeah. Okay. And
sorry, just on your second one, I get your question fully. Sorry, was on
just getting a sense on what I was trying to get a sense on was the NOI and the property management split. So when I look at this, you know, broadly, when I look at the in place rental of about 69, which is the data points that you've given in your presentation, I get about 110 crore of rental revenue. Which I understand only 60% belongs to us. So when you look at 8.5% on roughly about 900 crores, so that's roughly about 770 crores. So is the 8.5 on the 89 crore of NOI that you've given? Or is that on a number, a more normalized number?
Yeah, okay, two things. One, it is on the 89 crores.
The 89 crores includes 100% of the CAM. The only moving piece is there is balance cost to be spent on block 10. That is reduced.
Okay. And I gave you the number of 910 crores value.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Naishi Shah from ICICI Lombard. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yep, hi. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just have a couple of questions. Based on my understanding, the currently constructed blocks, they are all SEZ properties. And the block number 10 that is under construction, that is an also an SEZ, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, that's correct.
And, considering that, there's a lot of denotification in process in the other cities that we have assets in, is there a specific reason why we're, constructing these properties under SEZ? And is there demand for SEZ properties as of now, considering the occupancy rates had gone down in other cities?
Sure. You want to finish off with your second question?
Sure, I can do that. I just wanted to understand a little more on the rental support of 42.9 crores. So is this something that the REIT will be paying to the embassy group, or how does it work?
Okay, got it. So in terms of the first question, the current 1.8 million is fully SEZ. These are all new leases. It's weighted average lease expiry of another 14 years. So we are comfortable with that. In terms of the balance, 3.2 million square feet, we have assumed and underwritten the entire balance to be non-SEZ. So we have factored in the necessary GST costs in relation to construction. So to keep it short, we are assuming that every single lease henceforth will be in relation to a non-SEZ space. That's the way we've looked at it. The rent support is purely in relation to the 0.4 million square feet pertaining to one tenant where construction is going on. So what we've done is, because it's fully backed up by a tenant, we have valued this appropriately or accordingly in the valuation, and to the extent of the rent from the date of purchase till the expected rent commencement date, which is expected to be around November 25, that is going to be paid back by embassy to us, and all of this is anyway will be done through escrow arrangement.
All right. Thank you so much. That's it for now.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pallav Garg from Star Health Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hi. So I quickly wanted you to give us some sense on the rents and occupancy prevailing in other office-dominated areas in the Chennai market. Just trying to get a sense on how OMR2 is placed compared to other office markets.
Okay, I'll just request Amit to take the question, Pallav.
Yeah, thanks. So Pallav, essentially, OMR1 is the highest grossing in terms of rent. Rents are anywhere between 85 to about 100 rupees there, right? The second most, premium or, the rent that we've seen is PTR Road, which is anywhere between 75 to about 85, 90 rupees. So that's the rental spread. And OMR2 specifically is slightly lower than the PTR Road market, which is essentially closer to about 60 rupees, 50, 55 to 60 rupees rental range.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So that's the spread.
Okay, sure. So when we see the valuation report here, I think on the page 52 on the filing which you have put up, which has total of 230 pages, there the current vacancy for peripheral Southwest, the region where OMR2 our property belongs to, that comes out to be among the highest. But our property per se is sitting at a very handsome occupancy rate. So,
yep.
So ours is outstanding in the OMR 2 region. Is that
yep.
understanding right?
Yeah, if you see our strength, Pallav, is that, you know, we build business ecosystems and that's the ethos that we've built this park also. And that's why we've commanded much better than the other parks in and around the vicinity.
Okay.
Yeah, look not all supply and not all products are created equal, right? And I think one of the reasons why we have the names that we do in the park and the reason why we were moved to actually go out there. And I think this is important for, I think, everybody on this call and just for the market to understand. We are doing this for a very specific reason. I think the time, there is clearly a boom. There is a GCC boom. There is a leasing boom. And we are looking, Chennai as a market is growing. We are really looking to capitalize on this entire aspect by listening to what our tenants want. They're looking to lease more. They're looking to actually sort of take up more space. And I think if we don't act when the iron strike on the iron, while the iron's hot, I think we'll sort of lose out to competition. But again, it's our assets, the quality of our assets dictate the vacancy level, and 95% pre-lease, 95% occupied for the completed is a sign of that.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. That is it.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Girish Chaudhary from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So if you can just let us know a bit more on the need to deleverage now, especially one if you look at from an interest rate cycle, we are at peak levels and so why not go for growth? And also from a timing point of view, like why the overall deleveraging exercise currently?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think part of the entire fundraising strategy for us was predicated around this. If you look, the majority of the process of the proceeds for the fundraising is going to be to delever. And the reason is quite simple. You know, as a REIT in India, we're a new structure. And while I think we've done an exemplary job managing our cost of capital, the fact is that the debt markets are quite shallow. You know, we've raised money at, you know, leading rates, but I think what we want to do is just create a little bit of headroom that allows us to manage the balance sheet where, you know, 30% leverage in a new market is still quite a lot. And I think if we have the opportunity to take advantage of a rising stock price and make sure that the balance sheet remains clean, gives us the opportunity to continue having that 135 crores of interest savings, that allows us to just keep the development sort of, you know, clean and funded appropriately. That's why we just thought it would be a good sort of just a prudent way to do it. This is no different from what other REITs do worldwide or when companies actually take advantage of capital markets to delever. And there's no sort of real sort of science behind it. I think we just feel comfortable at slightly lower levels at this point, ingest the acquisition appropriately and make it accretive, which sort of dictates why we are out there in the market doing a placement at this point.
And just to add on, while Hrithik covered it, you are aware that we are developing close to 7 million square feet in a portfolio. You know, the expected spends on that is almost close to 4,000 crores. Plus, we will develop further in Chennai, and all of this will come from debt. So considering all of this, we thought it makes sense to delever a bit.
And, you know, just one last point on this, I think for the market to consider, I think, you know, we've always operated in an elevated funding environment. And I don't necessarily think that if you look at the Fed, doesn't seem to be in any real rush to cut right at this point in time. So if you think of an elevated rate cycle over the next year and there's some refinancing risk, at least for globally, that's going to hit commercial real estate, we just want to stay ahead of that and keep the balance sheet sort of, you know, flexible.
Okay. And one more question on if I look at your NOI to NDCF walk for the transaction, right, which is like the incremental NDCF is 203 odd crores. I would just want to understand like why the incremental tax is not factored in, right, for the interest cost savings.
So to introduce Abhishek, our CFO, Abhishek, go, please.
Yeah. So actually what will happen is, yes, there actually this transaction will be tax neutral from the interest rate perspective, because the tax shield we will lose on the interest of outside debt, but we will get similar tax shield when the REIT uses this amount to the SPVs.
So there won't be additional tax expense, just to keep it short.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Chaudhary from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call, and congratulations for getting this deal done. Two quick questions from me. One is, when you mentioned on page number 22 the accretion of 2.9%, this assumes the entire placement on top of the deal, right? It's not just that you're assuming the deal is done with equity of $13 billion raising. Just wanted to confirm that. And the second question I had was the maximum gearing that you're comfortable. You know, you said 30 going to 27, but what is that percentage where you are comfortable if tomorrow there is another deal comes through and you have to gear yourself? Is it 35? Is it 40? Thank you.
Yeah. just taking the second question first, in terms of gearing, Praveen, anyway, we have a cap that we will not cross 35%, because that's the maximum number which is approved by a unit holder. So that is anyway the cap we have, but we would probably be on the early side of 30 than the later side of 30. That's broadly what I would say. And in terms of accretion, you're right. The 2.9% accretion factors in both the Chennai asset acquisition and the necessary cash inflow, and the full funding of 2,500 crores in form of equity and refinancing. But just big picture split, close to around 1% or 1.1% is pure accretion from the Chennai asset, and the balance 1.8% accretion is coming from deleveraging.
Understand. And you have, for deleveraging, assumed the debt to be refinanced at 8.3%, right? That's where the interest cost saving is happening. Would you be doing immediately, or it's just an assumption here?
Yeah, so we have the necessary ability to do it immediately, Praveen, in terms of the loan terms.
Okay, very clear. Thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Just wanted to get some numbers there. In terms of balance capex on you know, block 4, 1, 5, and 8, what would that amount be?
So, yeah, all in, it'll be close to 1,600 crores, including master plan. For all future blocks, including what is today under construction,
including GST.
Yeah, including all cost.
This excludes block 10.
Includes block 10.
But block 10 would be very minimal of this, right? I mean,
it's around 135 crores.
135 crores. Okay, so around 1450 odd crores would be for block 4, 1, and 5, and 8.
No, it's 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, so there's four blocks between 5 and 8.
So including block 10, there are 7 blocks. If you were to exclude block 10, there are 6 blocks plus master plan.
Correct. And that's the portion which you have valued at 359 crores.
That's correct.
Okay, so just trying to get some numbers, right? So if I look at the completed portfolio valued at about 910 crores, that includes block 10, I'm assuming, right?
That's correct.
So that's like 1.8 million square feet of portfolio valuing at 910 crores, which essentially is a valuation of about 5,055 per square feet. And the ongoing and upcoming, you're valued at 359 crores. And if I add balance capex to this of 1450 crores, the implied valuation for this would be about 5,653 crores. So I'm just trying to reconcile some numbers there.
Sorry, 5,653 crores you mean, or you mean per square feet?
5,653 per square feet, correct, yeah. So 359 plus 1450 is about 1,800 crores divided by 1.2 million square feet. It's about 5,653. So just, is that understanding correct?
Let me put it this way. The completed blocks, all your numbers were right, but just remember that we have only 61% rights. So when you factor for the 61% rights, it will come to around 9,000 rupees per square feet.
Correct.
Similarly, for the 3.2 million square feet, there are already some costs spent, right? So if I were to remove the cost spent and were to value only the rights which we have, that comes to around 1,200 per square feet.
How much would be the cost spent? On the
cost spent is approximately around 120 crores.
Okay. Would that, I mean, that would still value, it would not be very materially different, right, in terms of valuation.
So, Kunal, what we can do, I think we don't understand the way you have done it. It's better to just take this one-on-one where we can explain you better. Because we are not able to really see what you have done.
Fair enough. I'll take this offline. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satinder Singh Bedi from Eon Infotech Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Okay, so carrying on with this last question. So this 910 crores, which is the cost attributed to 1.4 million built up and 0.4 million partly built up. So what part of this 910 is attributable to the 1.4 already completed, please?
Yeah, it's around 770 crores.
Okay, so 770 crores for 61% of 1.43. Is that a that works out about 8,800. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And regarding this interest cost, so this was the original question I had, but I couldn't understand when it is answered by Abhishek. So Abhishek, on this walk down of KNOI to NDCF, so you said the interest cost savings has not been offset by the tax implication. Okay, so why no tax implication of the interest cost saving, please? If you could kindly help understand.
So, Satinder, what will happen is there will be an interest saving on the external debt at the SPV level.
Yeah.
There will be additional debt which will come in because the equity raise that we do, we will infuse that also into the SPV, and the REIT will also charge interest. So, net-net, there will be no tax drag.
Okay. So, there will be no tax drag at all. Okay, that's the... Okay, which is why, okay. Okay, and fine. And one more query I had was regarding your views, if we call the cap rate of 8% for PTR, given that other leading REITs like let's say Capital Land, for example, for Taramani would have typically been valued at 8.5%. So is 8% kind of stiff or
we're at 8.5 for the completed, Satinder. We're not at 8. We're at 8.5. So I think it's very well in line with the market precedents, and I think if anything, slightly wider given sort of where sort of markets have been. And I think we're not sort of private capital. We obviously have a fiduciary duty to shareholders as well. So I think we're very much and I think if you look at sort of precedent trades that have been done, that's significantly sort of inside us.
Yeah, Satinder, I think honestly, some of the trades which have happened, the few ones in Chennai, are at a much tighter cap rates than 8.5%.
No, so yeah, okay. So I think I stand corrected. So actually, the valuation is the valuer has valued it at 8%, and because of the 6.7% discount, I think we end up transacting at 8.5, 8.6. So maybe that's where it is. I think that's fine. I have maybe a question or two more. I'll take it off like it. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. On behalf of Embassy REIT, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.